Welcome to the Fire Up Coaching Podcast, your number one podcast all about the amazing world of coaching. Listen in as this internationally recognized and one of Australia's leading coaching companies share over 20 years of coaching experience and knowledge. We chat with fascinating individuals that will inspire you, industry leaders that will amaze you, and take a look at the current research and trends in coaching to inform you, all to help you ignite the potential within. Get ready to learn, laugh, and level up with our thought-provoking podcast and join us in making the world a better place using the power of coaching and the art of the conversation.
Hi, everybody. I'm Craig Levitt from Fire Up Coaching. I'm one of the senior trainers and facilitators. Today, I want to talk about the concept of conversational intelligence. Okay. It's amazing these days, isn't it, when we think of so much about IQ and EQ, emotional intelligence. Well, today, we're going to talk about conversational intelligence. And the founder of this work, Judith Glasser, was an organizational anthropologist. And she is what we're supposed to the world's leading authority on we-centric leadership, as distinct from I-centric. Okay, that concept of we. Unfortunately, Judith passed away a few years ago, but her work is still carried on. The amazing work that she did is actually still carried on. You know, she once said, to get to the next level of greatness depends on the quality of the culture, which depends on the quality of the relationships, which depends on the quality of the conversations. Everything happens through conversations. And don't we know that to be true? You know, something like a seemingly simple act, such as talking with a colleague in a small moment of exchange of words in a hallway in an organization, can actually have the ability to alter someone's life permanently. You know, a comment like, you can't do that, or if only you knew how, or I need to see you in my office straight away, may only take a few seconds to actually utter in terms of conversation, but the effects can be life-changing. There's often little effect between the amount of time it takes to converse or to say the words and the impact that it might have on a person or a relationship or within an organization. There's no doubt that conversations have the ability to trigger emotional reactions. Words carry baggage. They're rarely neutral. Words carry a history of years of use. Each time another experience may overlay another meaning, all of it gets collected somewhere in our brain, okay? And it's there ready to be activated during a conversation. The conversations carry meaning that becomes more embedded in the listener than the speaker. And I think that's an important thing. As a speaker or the person communicating, we have an enormous responsibility on the way we say things in terms of how it's going to be interpreted. You know, we communicate with each other through conversations. We connect to people through conversations. Once that sort of cord is cut, that umbilical cord, connections, conversations are the connectivity that keep us together. But words are not necessarily external or objective. They're projections of our own inner reality, of our own way of thinking. And that's why it's important to understand the words that we use in conversation. So a definition of conversational intelligence, well, it's the intelligence that's hardwired into every human being to enable us to navigate successfully with others. So let me say that again. Conversational intelligence is the intelligence hardwired into all of us to enable us to navigate successfully with others. Through language and conversations, we learn to build trust, to bond, to grow, and build partnerships with each other to create and transform our collective, or our society, our organization, our community. There is no more powerful skill hardwired into all of us than the wisdom of conversations. You know, there's no doubt that Judith Glass's sort of lifelong goal was to help leaders to build a whole new sensitivity for the words that they use and the conversations they have with others. You realize that words will either cause us to bond and trust more fully and think of others as friends or maybe as colleagues, or they will cause us to break rapport and think of others as enemies or threats. Your mind will open up as you see the connection between language and health, and you will learn how to create healthy organizations through the conversation, what Judith liked to talk about, the conversation rituals that you establish. Okay? Everything happens through communication. Everything happens through conversations. Understanding how we project meaning into the conversations enable us to connect with others, and in doing so, let go of much of the self-talk that diverts us from really creating that environment of the we creation or the co-creation. As I mentioned just briefly, I want to talk about this particular part in a little bit more detail. Connecting with others, creating that emotional space for others to open up, requires deep trust. Trust is at the heart of communication and conversations. Without this trust, we will struggle to achieve extraordinary results. Okay? And we will struggle to actually receive that. Okay? So what is it about conversations? You know, how do they unpack? What are the impacts that they actually create? So when all goes well in a conversation and we both have an intention to communicate and we connect, the impact's positive. It enriches both of us. In addition to being positive, when we're communicating from a dynamic about co-creation, where we've got an exchange of energy, we are more honest and candid about our communication and we're more vulnerable and open to sharing. We're feeling so much trust with others that we're able to open up and share what's on our minds at the deepest level. And we can explore and discover what's on others' minds without any judgment. However, when instead of triggering a state of trust, a conversation creates a sense of threat and then so stimulates the primitive brain, we converse from that limited reservoir of skills. To make matters worse, we'll often stuff up interpretations about what's going on and we disconnect from others even more when we enter this place of distrust. So you may be aware that trust lives in our prefrontal cortex, and engaging that part of the brain neutralizes threats and allows us to see alternatives in the moment, alternatives that have been available before. But we have to consciously access that prefrontal cortex because we run the risk of a particular statement or a conversation triggering our emotional brain. Okay, so we have to actually interrupt that process to be able to go to the prefrontal cortex to actually go, okay, how else can I actually look at this conversation? How can I engage that ability within my brain to connect, empathize, judge, and come up with new ways of engaging with others? Okay, that's what we want to do when we connect with the prefrontal cortex. So let me talk about the three levels that Judith talked about in terms of our conversational intelligence, what she called the conversational intelligence matrix. First of all, conversations may well be at the transactional level, which is really where we've got an exchange of information. So that's a level one conversational intelligence, a transactional level where we're really exchanging information and validating what we know. Okay, we just got that exchange of information from one person to another. Our second level of conversational intelligence is what's called positional, where in effect there's an exchange of power. Okay, so from a healthy perspective, that's where we can persuade and influence others to agree with our points of view, and there's an opportunity to seek win-win solutions. The downside, and you may be aware of where this may have actually been employed, of positional power, is where a person or a probably potentially a person, is addicted to being right. They overuse telling people what to do. They tend to really only ask questions to persuade people to come across to their point of view. So we know that in many instances, you know, any of these levels can be used from both a healthy and an unhealthy perspective, and they all have their particular role. Where we want to move to is what we call level three, which is the transformational conversational intelligence, where we've got an exchange of energy. Okay, so we're in effect, we're holding a neutral space, exploring what might be called uncharted territory. We don't know what the answers for. We're actually asking questions for which we have no answers, and we actually listen to connect. And that's that state of being able to be in that higher level of conversation intelligence. We've gone from a state of I-centric to we-centric, where we're co-creating. And to do that, we need to actually shift trust. Sometimes in that early stages, we may be in a position of distrust. As I mentioned, the example I gave earlier when it says, I need to see you in my office. And some people might go straight into, what have I done wrong? What's the problem? And we're straight into that position of distrust where we're not going to be able to co-create, because one person will basically be that, fight or flight, want to defend themselves. It won't actually allow for a co-creation conversation. What we want to do is be able to, even in that instance, shift to a position of trust, which is providing context sometimes. Hey, I need to see you in my office to discuss X, Y, Z, for example. Hey, how's it going, Mary? Can we have a chat in the office about this? Rather, I need to see you in my office in 5 minutes. Notice how there's just a change into the way that we're actually conversing with somebody that could potentially remove some of the triggers that might run from just that simple statement. So I want to just talk about five or six what we call conversational essentials. Now, I can't do justice to conversational intelligence in a 15-minute podcast. I can just give you a snippet of the work that Judith Glasser does, and an opportunity for some of the exposure to the work that we now do at FireUp in delivering conversational intelligence. So let me talk about some of the conversational essentials. Number one, you might want to write these down. Listening to connect. Okay. Listening to connect, not to judge, confirm or reject, is a way of listening to the other person with a focus on them, not you. It's engaging all our coaching skills in terms of active listening. It's bigger than listening to understand. It's actually starting to think about, what are they trying to say? What are they thinking? What are they hoping that you will help them explore? And maybe a way that we can connect to their world and explore their world. So we're completely looking at it from the other person's perspective. So that's number one. We have to listen to connect by understanding the other person's map of the world. Number two, ask questions for which you have no answers. Okay. Too often we ask questions because we want to guide people to where we want them to go. And that's really what we call a leading question, which can be interpreted as manipulation. And it can put people on guard and it can activate their distrust. So it can move them into a position of distrust. However, when we ask questions for which we have no answers, we're in a mindset of discovery, and others can feel this as inquisitive and curious. It's put people into a position of co-creation, trust, and a receptive state of mind. Our goal is to help others with whom we're interacting to discover their own meanings and their own self-awareness. Thus, asking questions for which you have no answers opens and expands the conversational space for a new reality to emerge from you and others. Let's talk about number three, sustaining conversational agility. So what is that? Conversational agility is what we aspire to activate and create mastery in our interaction, okay? It's the ability to move into different types of conversations with ease and to co-create with harmony. So, for example, if a conflict is brewing, a pattern in interruptions that we can use by reframing and refocusing and redirecting is a powerful way to build that conversational agility muscle, reframing, refocusing, and redirecting. It enables people to then tap into a new energy, an insight, or an outlook. Okay. So they are really those key components of using your conversation intelligence skills for conversational agility is reframing, refocusing, and redirecting. Okay. Those three R's are the way you refocus conversations to elevate that communication for everyone to be involved. Point number four, priming for trust. This is absolutely essential. Absolutely essential. It begins with asking yourself questions to shift your awareness towards a trusting conversation. So some of the questions you might ask yourself are, how can I create a safe environment? Can I be more transparent about the desired outcomes and share the threats that may stand in my way? What actions, thoughts, or words will enable the other person to shift from a protect to a partner? How do I establish rapport? Okay. What actions, thoughts, or words will enable us to listen, to connect, and relax judgment and ignite that sense of co-creation? What can we say to reduce conflict and open a view of what mutual success looks like? How can I approach the person I'm talking with or interacting with caring, candor, and courage? They are some of the keys about priming for trust. Number five, what we call double clicking. Okay. So double clicking is an effective way to ask questions for which we have no answers. So it comes back to that. So double clicking is an approach to using the CIQ conversation intelligence connections through conversations. Some basic double click questions to insert repeatedly by asking why? What does that mean? What else? Okay, questions along those lines that will actually allow us to move further into the conversation. So those five key components I've just covered off really quickly, I know, listening to connect, ask questions to which you have no answers, sustaining conversational agility, priming for trust, and double clicking. Okay, so let's just look about a little bit of a summary now of this topic. You may think or feel or hear that maybe I don't have time to spend in deep conversations. These things take too long, okay? But what we do understand is that over time, it is the most effective form of communication or conversation to be able to move to that position where there is absolutely high trust, where we are working towards a common goal or common solutions, where we are in effect co-creating in this space of we, or as Judith talked about, being we-centric, and that it's all about what can be created, not about just what I have to tell you to do or what I have to instruct you to do. So, look, a little bit of an overview of conversational intelligence. If you'd like to know more, please reach out to us at FireUp. We do run day-long sessions in conversational intelligence, plus also we incorporate into a number of our other programs. So if you'd like to know more, just reach out to us at FireUp and we can tell you more about that amazing skill of conversational intelligence. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you for listening to the FireUp Coaching Podcast. If you would like more information on coaching, becoming a qualified coach, or want to experience the power of coaching, call us on 1-300-FIRE-UP or head on over to the website fireupcoaching.com.au, where you will also find access to more amazing podcasts that will help you fire up, level up, and ignite the potential within.